Let's get it started in here.
Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station. This is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah.
Lose control, a body or soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show, and this is your feel-good station. We're talking about positive talk, and it's a great way to start your day. So I'm so glad that you have tuned in, and we've got Marcia here. Welcome.
Good morning. Good day.
Good day. How's it going?
Good.
All right. And we got Matt on our board, and our phone number here is 805-639-0008. Also, we've got Lee Sherman. And Lee, welcome. You are from Ventura Hillside
Conservancy.
Conservancy. Thank you. Anyways, welcome. And I heard so much about this, and I really wanted to learn a little bit more.
Oh, well, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, let's get started. Basically, today we've got some great guests. We've got, obviously, we're going to talk to Lee and find out a little bit more about what's going on there, right? That's right here in our Ventura County, a great place to start. There's always so much happening here. And, gosh, this weekend, there is this amazing stuff you were talking about.
Coming or going.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. Well, we've got the Blues Festival out in Simi Valley, and I've got tickets for that. So if you are interested in going, it's going to be an all-day fun thing over at the Hummingbird Ranch. And, it's beautiful out there. So, I mean, there's, you know, as long as we have good weather, I think it should be all good. So what else do we have? You were talking about a roast.
Yeah, this is an unpaid plug because I just like it. But Otto and Sons, which is a huge nursery out in Fillmore, it's like 4 miles off the grade, but anyway, they're having their big rose festival this weekend, and it is something to see. If you love roses, and
which
you love
I do.
English roses,
yes,
you know, even if you don't have anything to purchase, you don't want to purchase anything, it is really beautiful and fun to see all the different kinds of roses I smell roses, so you know, I always love to see how they bring out the old English roses that just have such a beautiful scent.
There you go.
So, and they've got fruit, they've got all kinds of plants, but it's their Rose Festival this year.
Well, talking about roses, I met one of my listeners yesterday, Brenda, and she brought me a beautiful rose from her garden. And, you know, she knows that obviously I love roses. I have them all over my garden. In fact, they're like huge this year. Are your roses huge?
Yeah, I mean, they're late this year. Usually we get the first big bloom in March. I mean, you know, like beginning of March or before Easter, and this year right now they're really gorgeous, and they're big, but I don't know what it's going to look like this year because the weather has been so bizarre.
It has been. It's like hot, like 90, and then all of a sudden it's rainy.
And cold and rainy, so I worry about disease, because you get, every time you have, you know, roses bloom and then you get rain, you get mold. And so we'll see what it looks like towards the middle of the summer.
I don't know. Right now they're beautiful.
Yeah,
so,
gorgeous.
Anyway, so that's another great thing. But there's just so many things to do. And I want to remind you that I have a lot of partners. And today we're going to be talking to Coffee News. They are Trivia Tuesday. And we've got the Strawberry Festival coming up. So we've got the giveaways for the Strawberry Festival. There is so many. We've got Caneo Valley Days coming up. We've got Simi Valley Days. If there's something that you guys are doing out there right now and you want me to be a part of it, please give us a call here and you can talk to Matt. He'll give me all the info, or just send me an email at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. We also have a women's financial thing that's going to happen on May 22nd. And if you would like an invitation to that, it's going to be over in Westlake, and I'd love you to be a part of that too. So if you are just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And I'd like to thank some of my partners, Parent Click, Venture Breeze, Girl Talk, Coffee News, and of course all my friends and sponsors and advertisers, because it wouldn't be possible without all of you. And that's what makes our show really work, kind of like a nonprofit in a sense, right? You know, we need our help. So if you would like to be a part of our show, definitely give me a call at 805-419-0008. Today we're going to be talking again with Lee Sherman and find out about the developmental of you're a volunteer, right? But now you're actually part of
volunteer
it.
Volunteer and development coordinator.
Yeah. What name. There you go, right?
It's a mouthful.
Yeah. So, and also we're going to be talking with Beth Green, and her book is Living with Reality, Who We Are, What We Could Be, and How We Get There. And it's really interesting because that's something that we talk about on my show all the time. And it's interesting, you know, my listeners want to look good, feel good, and do good. And they live in, you know, in purpose of doing that and really mindful. And so that's the listeners that I attract. And, you know, it's interesting.
Well, sometimes we just need a little direction.
We need direction. I need direction every day. You know, sometimes, and you know, this is just a perfect way for me to start my day. So I'm so glad that everybody's here. So, Lee, tell us a little bit about, you know, Ventura Hillside.
Well, we're a land trust, and we're a nonprofit that is, we're able to hold land. Our goal is to acquire and protect the remaining open space in Ventura and turn it over for public access. We just had, it was Earth Day on Sunday.
That's right, yeah.
And we had a volunteer event. We had a restoration event out at a property that we own just below Foster Park. We call it our Foster Park.
So what did you do
preserve
for that?
Well,
which is such, you know, it really is an important day in our world, you know, to take care of the earth that we're, you know, to be green. So did you teach people?
Well, green promotions out there, you know, come buy a Prius on Earth Day or something like that. We thought it'd be really fun for people to go out and get their hands dirty and do some actual restoration work on the property that we own, where we've been hosting.
Does that mean you're cleaning the property up?
Well, we are
planting,
removing invasive species.
Oh.
Do you guys know what a rundo is?
No. Tell
a
us,
rundo
please.
Is the giant reed that clogs the Ventura River. It clogs the Santa Clara River. It's that big bamboo-looking stuff.
Yeah.
And it's it outcompetes a lot of the native species.
Is it a root-bound thing? So it goes root underneath?
No, it's a rhizome.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's not a very deep root structure. So when we get big rains and floods like we've had in the past, big stands of it, clumps of it, will just come and wash down the river, and you'll find them out on the beach. And they'll just pile up out there. I'm sure you saw it.
Yeah,
so it's not that difficult to take out as if you have the manpower?
Oh, it's not that difficult to get rid of, but it's hard to keep it from coming back.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a rhizome, and any little stem of it can float downstream.
You know, it's funny. In our old house, we thought that was really pretty, the, you know, all of that, and we started planting. Oh, my God, it takes over, like, so fast.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's why I think they have them in just little bottles, right?
No, I think this is one that they don't sell.
No, I know,
but, yeah.
But yes, but any source of that can just...
Yeah, it's not like a bamboo. Otherwise, I'd try to get a bunch of pandas to come in.
Eat it up.
Yeah, there you go.
But we have this preserve. It's outside Foster Park. And we've been taking field trips there. My mic just went quiet.
That's okay.
We've been taking
We can still hear you.
We partner with a lot of the schools in Ventura, Ventura High School, the middle schools, and we've been taking kids out there to supplement their environmental
education. So you're
looking
for volunteers. That's another way that the kids can give back.
You know, well, when they're on the field trips, it's kind of compulsory, but some of them do show up later as volunteers at the events that we have. So,
how long has it been? How long has this organization been involved? You know,
this
together?
Is our 10th year.
Wow, 10 years.
You know, it's interesting because I lived in Orange County before I lived in Ventura. And I moved there when I was 8 years old, and Orange County was what Ventura County is now. But they did not do what Ventura County is doing by saving a lot of the land. So Orange County is different in the fact that
there is no land left.
Well, two or three people owned almost the entire space that was vacant. So as they sold it off, you didn't really have a choice. But in Ventura County, it's a little more diverse, so you do have a choice. And you can give your land to the trust and try to keep it unencumbered so we have this beautiful land to look at.
Right, and so that there's not houses everywhere and that there is no... I mean, that is what's the beauty of being out here in Ventura.
I mean, SOAR has done a lot for yes, the county, but,
absolutely.
You know, this is great.
Yeah. So what is land trust and what does it do?
Well... like you were saying, we are able to hold land, and our goal is to steward this land in perpetuity is the big key word for us. It's, you know, we're trying to think 7 generations out for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, this land should be available and open to the public. You know, we're pretty, I guess, open space starved in Ventura. I mean, there's some parks, there's some great parks, but there's not a lot of... besides the bike path, you can't really go hiking in the hillsides. It's all private property. You know, a lot of people will hike up to 2 trees, but it's trespassing.
Is it trespassing?
It's truly trespassing, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's private property. We respect private property rights. You know, we're not anti-development. We're not anti, you know, putting houses up. We're just for smart growth.
Right.
And we work with developers. We work with willing landowners and people who would like to see their land stewarded, you know, in perpetuity and open to the public.
Huh.
And
you know, I just want to give out our phone number here, 805-639-0008. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. And that's something that you guys do. We're talking with Lee Sherman from Ventura Hillside. And how can people become involved? How did you become involved with this? Good question, right?
Well, I was hired by the executive director, and I was the first real staff member. They had an executive director, and then I was the first
Do they have other staff
now? Now there's two of us. There's we have a part-time executive director. We have myself, and then we have a protection coordinator. And between the three of us, we are responsible for coordinating the volunteers. We do a lot of grant writing. We do a lot of coordination with the local schools for outdoor education. And land acquisition, you know, we're working on acquiring several parcels. We're currently in escrow on a big acquisition that we're making right behind the Patagonia headquarters.
Oh.
And Patagonia, I got to shout out to them. They're a huge supporter of ours. They sponsor all of our events, and a lot of their employees are dues-paying member supporters of our organization.
Really? You know...
So you were saying, like, this is like NPR, where you pay a due every year, and you're part of the organization. And
yeah,
then...
that's a good way to talk about the events that we do. We do two big events
every year.
Yeah,
let's hear about the events, too.
Yeah, we just finished our spring membership drive, which was the Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
Oh, and darn. I didn't know about that. Okay. Got to keep in touch with that.
We'll have you on before the next
one. Yeah.
That was in March, and that is our membership drive. We take over the Poinsettia Pavilion, the big ballroom, for 2 nights, and we show a series of short films with an environmental theme that are chosen from
what
the program.
What was one of them?
One of them was, there was a great film called Return Flight, which had a lot of local flavor to it. It was filmed on the Channel Islands, and it was about the restoration of bald eagles.
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. We actually had one of the people, one of the biologists who was in the film, come and speak at the event.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was really great.
You know, there is so much in Ventura. It's amazing. And that's why I'm slowly, you know, learning. I've always been out in the valley or in, you know, as far as Camarillo, that kind of thing. But now that my studio's out here, I really want to learn all the beauty and all of the stuff that's out here, because there's just so much. So now, who is involved with you?
Well, as I mentioned, Patagonia is a big supporter. They give us a grant that funds the membership drive that we do. And just to stay on that for a second, we got 57 new members at the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. We try to bundle. We give you free tickets if you join as a member. It's kind of an incentive for that. So we met the goals of the grant, and we're really excited about that.
Especially
and
right now in a time.
You have a project going on in the river.
Yeah, yeah. We are part of a broader coalition right now that's forming. It's called Friends of the Ventura River. And I don't know if you guys know this or not. Perhaps you don't, since you're seeming to be kind of new to the area. But we... we're kind of unique here in Ventura among Southern California cities in the fact that we have a river that's intact and that we drink out of. We don't pipe all of our water in from the Colorado. We don't buy state water like Los Angeles, Orange County, or to an extent Santa Barbara County. We have the Ventura River. We have a reservoir at Lake Casitas. And we have the Matilahad Dam way up at the top there. But the river, as I was talking about, the Arundel, there's just problems. You know, the river is not going to be there forever if we don't jump in and take care of it. And traditionally, there used to be big runs of steelhead up the river, which have really dwindled in the past years because of all the barriers, because of all the Arundel. There's a lot of pollution problems with the indigent homeless population that camps in the river. There's about 125 people who call the Ventura River their home. There's not a public bathroom for any of them to use. There's not a lot of kitchen or sanitary facilities.
I know where you're going with that. Okay.
So the river needs our help, and we're part of a broader group that is trying to raise awareness and to raise interest and kind of reconnect Ventura to its river. A lot of people, when the 33 went in and the levees went in, it kind of cut the river off from the city. Prior to that, all the streets on the west side kind of ended at the river. There were swimming holes that people would meet up after school, and it was a real source of recreation. You can see old pictures with the guys with big stringers full of fish, you know, all across them. Like I said, you'd walk bank to bank on the backs of the steelhead when the runs were strong.
So what are they doing about it? I mean,
we're trying to do, first of all, now is raise awareness.
Yeah, or what can we do to get involved? I guess that's kind of...
That leads me to the event that we're coming up to.
Okay, there you go. I knew we were going in the right direction.
We're planning an event June 9th to unveil. It's called the Ventura River Parkway. And we're hoping to get public support and as well as political support for an idea that's gestating now. Modeled after some of the more successful river parkways in other cities, like Sacramento has the American River Parkway. Milwaukee just did a great parkway. I just saw Madrid, Spain has this incredible parkway along their river. And what it does is it opens up opportunities for recreation, obviously. You know, not a lot of kids are...
So there'll be like a bike path and a...
There is a bike path already. We're talking about... trails that would connect off of the bike path to parcels. We have existing parcels that we own, and then we have our eye on other properties that we're trying to acquire that we could...
Where exactly is it located?
Our properties?
Yes.
We have property just south of Foster Park.
Okay.
If you go up to Casitas Vista, pull over at Foster Park, and go south down the bike path back towards Ventura, you'll see on the left a retaining wall that has this bright, colorful mural that we...
Everybody painted?
Yeah, we coordinated with De Anza... it's not De Anza Middle School. It's De Anza Academy of Technology and the Arts on the Avenue.
Yeah.
It's middle school, and one of their student clubs had come out on field trips to our preserve, and we asked them to... We talked to them about watershed, what a watershed is, educated them about Arundel invasive species, and we asked them to draw some pictures of what their experiences were. And then we coordinated with local artist M.B. Hanrahan, who's done the Tortilla Flats mural. She did the big mural behind the E.T. Foster Library. And she distilled all of their images into a big mural project that we were able to write a grant and get funding for. We were able to pay the artists. We were able to acquire the materials and everything, pay for the buses, for the field trips, for the kids. And she came out on a Friday and chalked it all out with a big piece of chalk on the end of a stick on this retaining wall along the mural.
And then the kids.
Or on the bike path. And then the kids came out on Saturday and did kind of this great, well, it's kind of like a paint my numbers kind of
fun.
Thing.
That is
really
cool. I used to love that. You know, when you like kind of write every which way and then you color in all the colors, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that it's so important to get our children involved in this because this is truly our future.
Right.
Well, those are the, you know, kids who are hopefully going to be volunteers when they're in high school and then members when they're, you know, older and out of
definitely.
College.
I know you have a music festival this year. When is that?
We are looking probably late September. Okay. It's traditionally when we do it in September. It's when the weather's nice.
Okay.
And, this is going to be our 10th year.
Wow.
And fun. And where does it take place?
Yeah.
Arroyo Verde Park.
Okay.
It's pretty much just up at the other end of Victoria.
So
from here.
Sometime when you have the actual date and everything, you'll contact Kim and we can
absolutely
talk about
I'll be
it.
Okay, doing great. Heavy promotion when we do that.
I know. I can't wait. So
yeah. Right
that's
now
always
we're,
a big
we're looking
hit.
At... The Rolling Stones, the surviving Beatles, maybe U2. You know, we've got offers out there.
we'll get back to you on that one, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. God. Well, all right. This is really great to meet you, Lee. And I look forward to learning more. And anything that we can do to pass the word on, you know, definitely. That's what it's all about is many hands make little work. And that's been my saying for forever. My kids, like, grew up with that. But I really think in life, that's what it's all about. And especially, you know, when we all have to work together. So,
hey, I have a public service announcement or just a reminder to people.
Okay.
Last weekend, my niece, who lives in Florida, but this will be relevant for here, by the way, got bit by a snake on a hike.
Mm.
She got bit by a copperhead and is in intensive care. And she was 45 minutes from where they started the hike. So they had to hike back 45 minutes after she was bit. And they called the emergency, and then it took another 45 minutes to get to the hospital. So have a plan when you go hiking. The snakes are going to be out soon, and you need to have a plan and do not go alone.
Yeah.
Now that the snakes are going to be out, start
my
hiking with a
buddy. My husband was bit by a snake and right in our backyard, and all he did was walk literally maybe 20 feet from, you know, he went to turn the sprinkler on, and it bit him on his pinky. And he couldn't even make it back to the sliding door. We were having a big barbecue, and he was already, I mean, foaming. It was, I mean, immediate reactions. And so we had lived a little bit further out, and so I called 911. They said, you need to take him or he won't, if he's
won't
already having
it.
That reaction. But that he had to have 18 vials of antivenom.
Yeah, and I remember you told me he was in decompression chamber. And
yeah, he had to have, like, I think it was 11 dunks, maybe even, I can't, it's been a while. But I have to tell you, when they say, oh yeah, you could walk miles.
No.
You really
can't.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Have a plan and make sure you take your cell phone with you, and you may not have service. But
and I have to tell you, you know, you see everybody with a bandana. There's a reason. Because that was the first thing that the paramedic said is tie a tourniquet around
right.
him. And I'm like, I'm a valley girl. What do you mean? You know.
Yeah.
But luckily, I just took a dish towel out of the kitchen. But that is the thing, because as the poison starts to go up, it was on his left side, which was closer to his heart, and so
and it was a baby rattlesnake.
And babies,
and those are
they
the worst.
Get scared and they shoot all their venom out at you.
They don't know how to release their venom, so the first time they bite, they're biting with the full venom.
Yeah, Lee, are you familiar with that?
So if I worry more about ticks.
You know, you're a huge hiker, it's a really good idea to get some of that anti-venom and take it with you. But
I don't know if you can get it.
You can. Well, not anti-venom, but you can get something. I can't remember what it is.
Yeah,
because
venom,
help.
They were almost out of it, and they had to get it from several
but
different
this
hospitals.
Does, and I don't remember what it's called, but it helps keep the venom from traveling.
But the other thing that you talked about, ticks. My oldest daughter was bit by a tick. I'm telling you, and she lost her memory in second grade and everything, Brittany. And let me tell you, it was a nightmare because she had visited Colorado, and she got it out there. She got ticked, but bit by it. But we had no idea that that was what the problem was. So, but now they're more prevalent out here. So, anyways, not to scare anybody, but just it's really about, you know, being...
No, just be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared and, you know, good knowledge. So stay with us. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. When we come back, we're going to have Rob Blaze call us and talk to us about Tuesday trivia here. We've got some questions and we've got some gift certificates to the Strawberry Festival that's coming up. So our phone number here is 805-639-0008. Also, I'd love to get your name on for the Blues Festival out in Simi Valley. So any of those ring a bell for you this weekend, give us a call, 805-639-0008. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us because we're going to be talking with Beth Green and Living with Reality. We'll be right back.
Feeling as if I've been cursed with a cold within. Days go by and still I think of you.
Hi, I'm Andrea with Hometown Insurance Services. Allied Insurance is a member of Nationwide Insurance Family. Allied will discount your premiums up to 23% if we insure both your home and auto together. Allied also offers many occupational discounts. Please call Hometown Insurance today for a free, no-pressure, no-obligation quote. Call us at 850-0380 or stop by our office at 4517 Market Street, Suite 1B in Ventura.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up, girl?
Brought my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city.
Let's
before
go.
I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking pedicure on our toes. Trying on all our clothes.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and thank you for joining us here in a positive way to start your day. And right now we have coffee news. We've got our trivia segment on. And Rob, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Very good. So tell us a little bit of what's going on in coffee news today.
Okay, well, in the new issue of Coffee News, we have, as always, some really interesting stories. There's a New York game enthusiast who has over 1,140 board games in his collection.
Wow, so, I love board games.
I wonder if they actually play them.
Yeah, or they just sit in the cupboard, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, it would take a lot of time to play 1,140 games.
Yeah.
But, I guess he's never bored.
No pun intended, right? I like it. Okay.
Then there's a Minnesota artist who made a sculpture using $316 bills to create the word honesty. And he successfully displayed this artwork at many places until he got to Bloomington, and then something happened. You'll have to pick up Coffee News to read that to find out.
And where do we find Coffee News?
Coffee News is free, and it's found all over Camarillo, Moore Park, and Ventura. And, it's mainly a restaurant publication, but any place that there's a waiting area where there's a few minutes of downtime, you know, we try to get Coffee News in there so people have something fun to read.
Hmm, okay. So what are our prizes today? You got some good prizes. I always love the Strawberry Festival.
That's right. So, every year the Strawberry Festival comes to Oxnard, and it's a great place, a thing to do on the weekend of May 19th and 20th. If you go there, you'll find things that people are doing with strawberries that you could never imagine could be done. And it's really a fun day out. We got two tickets to the Strawberry Festival this year for the winter today.
Very cool. And that's over off of South Rose Avenue, right, in Oxnard?
Yep. It's called Strawberry Meadows of College Park. So it's like they have their own huge location that, you can literally get lost if you don't pay attention where you park your car.
There you go.
And go hungry because there's lots of great food.
Yep, it's huge. And so, yep, we got to say the question. Before we give the question, let's give the number. Get your phones ready.
Okay.
And as everyone prepares for this, the number is 805-639-0008.
Yep.
And today's question, if you're hungry, I don't know if you're hungry, but...
We're always hungry.
The question of today is, what is the Italian pasta farfalle commonly called? So if you know the English name for this pasta, you could win two tickets to the Strawberry Festival.
Okay. So you know what's funny is I just made a pasta salad and I used all the different kinds of pasta. But you're looking for one name, right?
Yeah, this is the farfalle. And it's in English, some people call it another name. There's actually two different names that people could call it. So there's actually two answers to this, but we have the one listed.
I'll give you a hint. It's also a name of a piece of clothing.
I was just going to say that if you're getting really dressed up. How about that?
Okay, we practically gave it away.
I know. So, again, our phone number here is 805-639-0008. So, anyways, thank you so much for being a part of our show. And definitely pick up your coffee news. We got lots of people in there and lots of things. It's just a great read. So at any of our restaurants out there, correct?
Oh, always guaranteed to make you smile.
There you go. I like smiling.
Yep.
It's all positive talk. So anyways, thank you so much, Rob. Coffee news trivia.
That's right. Have a great morning, Jim.
You got it. All right. Talk to you soon. All right, so I picked up a article here, and I thought that it was kind of fun to talk about this, is marriage at crossroads, and there's five steps to reconnecting. And so, how hard is it? Lee, how long have you been married?
It'll be 10 years this year.
Okay.
And my wife's Italian, and she knows the answer to this. So she's listening. She better call in.
There you go, exactly. My husband's Italian, too, so... But anyways, it's hard to stay on the same track of your wife and you and your husband. And even if you have an amazing marriage, there's times that how do you stay on the same page?
Well, and then you add kids in and all the
and different jobs and businesses
places
and
you have to in-laws be and things to go
yeah,
on. Yeah,
there's just, So I thought that this was kind of interesting. And so, Marcia, do you want to kind of talk about... Nope, she doesn't want to. Okay.
No, it's not that I don't want to talk about it. You read the article. I didn't.
Well, there's just different steps. And one is, the road that you've been traveling on may be a damaged one. And so sometimes you have to really look if you guys are doing the right thing together. What is your...
Well, I like this. It says make small gestures that show you care. Sometimes we try the big, grandiose things, and we miss the small things.
Yeah.
Pick up your clothes or for a wife, say thank you. I hate to say this, as wives, we love for somebody to eat our food that we've cooked. I cook, so... And for them to say thank you for the meal, but what about thank you for providing,
the meal that we, the food that we,
if you're the one that's able to stay home.
There you go. It's just appreciation.
Yeah.
And me, any comments? He's going,
Or making time, thank you for making time to do something.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Me?
Small gestures.
Yeah. Small gestures.
Small gestures. Okay. So,
don't wait for Valentine's Day and Mother's Day to say you love somebody. Tell them every day, or tell them when it just the little things come up.
Right. And I think it's, you know, it's important to have date night.
I do too.
Yeah, it's really important to not let that time go by because everything else can get in the way.
You know, Steve and I went out to dinner on Saturday night, and we have not, we usually go out once a week or try to go out once a week, and we haven't gone out in like a month because the kids' schedules have, you know, whatever night we would have normally gone out, we had to go to one of their plays or one of their games or one of, you know, and it just got farther and farther, and it was almost like we sat down to dinner Saturday night and we both breathed like, you know, let's see where we are, because it's hard to catch up with each other when everything else is going on, and when you're in your own home trying to catch up with each other sometimes it doesn't work. So
right. And do you and your wife have a date night?
We try.
I mean, you could just go on a walk. Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
We try to make time after the kid. You know, we have young kids, so yeah. We try to get them in bed.
How old
by
are your
eight.
Children?
7, and then my youngest is going to turn 3 on Saturday.
That's yeah. A lot of work still then, right?
Yeah.
It's different work. It's still a lot of work when they're older. It's just different.
I say little kid, little problem. Big kids, big problems, yeah. You know? So I think it's important to not always, you know, my husband and I also work together. So, you know, a lot of times we'll be, you know, I'll say, did we get that paperwork done? And he's like, oh, you're not going to do this right now, are you? You know, he just wants clear talking about nothing positive.
Well,
stuff.
And
so
you,
that's another
you would
thing.
Definitely have to make an effort not to talk about business during your personal time. That's,
yeah.
We have our date nights, we try to make a conscious effort not to talk about kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth.
It's tough to go out there and, you know, be with this person and
yes.
Have the kids gone and then suddenly,
and
wow,
I think
what
that,
do we talk about?
And, you know, and your kids are young still, right? But when you actually get older, you've been so busy taking care of your children
right.
That you realize that all of a sudden you go, oh, my God, wait a minute. I haven't been feeding my relationship.
Right.
And so you have to start almost feeding your relationship. And so how do you start by, you know, it's almost like as if you didn't know somebody, you know, you would start with, you know, I really admire you. I you know, you kind of the reason that you got together. And so I think that's really, really important. Start at the basics.
Well, and hopefully your partner is also your best friend.
Right.
And so like, you know, like everything else. Sometimes you let the person that's closest to you, you ignore that person.
Why is that? And sometimes we're so nice to strangers, and yet we're not nice to the people next to us. So anyways, just a little, you know, a couple steps there to really...
And if you're going to be old with the person, I mean, you really think about it. You want to be old with somebody you actually know still.
Yeah, you have that history, you know, and there's nothing better than an old best friend.
Yeah.
You know, and why not make it your partner and, you know, so that you can stay connected. It's really important to stay connected. So anyways, I do want to wish my son a happy birthday. And today is his 16th birthday. So he's my youngest. And it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe my baby's 16. So anyways, happy, happy birthday. And always important. So we can't wait to have fun. We had dinner last night. So
you had a birthday dinner last
night?
Yeah.
And it's funny because there's 10 of us now, you know, with all of their, you know, girlfriends and fiancés. And it's just, oh, my God. But it's so much fun. So,
you know, it is really odd when your kids start dating other people and then their dates become part of your existence. And then you get just your core family together. It is really a, you know, it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's that precious time.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I love all of them and they all add a different dynamic. It's so much fun. Because I think they all bring something else to the table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes in core families, you can have some tension.
Yeah, no.
And then you add somebody else, it takes that away.
I'm serious. I think it really takes it away because
There's not so much competitiveness with each other.
No.
Then they are focused on somebody else,
yeah,
too.
And, you know, my boys, you know, they have, you know, boys are boys. They like to argue, right? But then now you bring the fiancés in and they don't, you know, they have a different connection. It's
right.
Really nice. So the girls, and now they have, you know, one of the girlfriends in there, that brings a different... It's very nice. Our dinners have been really nice. So anyway, so I'm excited to, you know, see how our families grow together. We do have our next guest right now. And Beth, are you there?
I am.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. I just listened to about a minute of you and your former guest, and you're very warm, and I feel very comfortable already.
Oh, thank you so much. I really try to be, because you know what? Life is good, and I'm so glad that you are joining us here on my show, Kim Pagano Show. So your book is Living with Reality, and who we are, what we could be, and how we get there is so important. You know, I'm a hair therapist, and so many of us are just on the road but don't know really where we're going. We're just kind of surviving instead of thriving. Uh-huh. And I think it's important. So I'd love to learn more about what you do and how you got here.
Thank you. Do you have a specific question in mind, or do you want to just open my mouth?
Well, you have a gift for intuition. And how do you explain your amazing intuitive gift?
You mean how I got it? Or
yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, what made you think that you had it? Well, I mean, let's start there.
Here's what happened, honestly. In my whole life, I never even thought about intuition. I wasn't a spiritual person. I was a social activist, a radical activist coming out of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I am in my late 60s now. And so that was kind of my era, and I was very focused on the outer world and what we were going to do to change it. And then, but I have also been chronically ill since I'm 15, very severely ill, and I'm always struggling to try to find some way to get well. And I went to a holistic chiropractor over 30 years ago, and he gave up on me, said I was the weakest human being he'd ever met, and literally, and sent me to some metaphysical counselor, and I walked in, and I thought, these people are just nuts. So she turns on a green light, and I got stronger, and I thought, now this cannot be, right? And so, now, remember, this is back in 1980, so, you know, it wasn't so popular as it is today. And then she started talking to me about my past lives, and I started rolling my eyes, except then I put my hand out and I said, excuse me, that's not how it happened. And I opened my mouth and I started describing what happened. Now, I don't even know if there are past lives or there's just metaphors that come through our minds to help us understand ourselves better.
Right.
But I can tell you that all of a sudden, I knew things that I couldn't know. So I walk out of there and I think, what is this about? And I called up a friend of mine and she came running over and I discovered that I could tell people all kinds of things about themselves. And I had one experience after another of absolutely miraculous things that were true that I couldn't possibly have known. One after another, and I said, I guess this is real. And it just turned on, like you turned on a light bulb. Well, and I know that it's real, not only because of these things such as you're going to buy this house, and I do, or go to this place and you're going to find this book and it's there, but also, and much more important, as a counselor, I'm able to look into people's hearts and their psyches, and I know things about them, and I understand what's going on to them on deep, deep levels that's really healing. And that's what this gift is for.
I love it. And so you feel like, I mean, obviously we're on the phone right now. So do you have a feeling about us in here, or do you have to have somebody in front of you?
Well, no, I do not need someone in front of me. Not only can I work on the phone, which I do, and I work on Skype. In fact, I have clients from around the world. But also, although I prefer to be with people in person,
right.
I can tune into people who aren't here, I'm not even talking to, when I need to. But it's not, and I don't mean this to be an offense towards you, it's not a parlor game. So
right.
People come to me and say, oh, what do you feel about me? And I'm looking at them thinking, I'm trying not to.
Right,
okay,
right.
So for us, who we may have some intuition, but we don't may not have as
it's
deep
not developed,
of intuition.
Yeah.
How would we develop into? We should all listen to ourselves, because most of the time we know whether we should or shouldn't do something. And, you know, you get that bad feeling about something. You really should walk the other way, and a lot of us walk right into it. How do you apply this to your life?
Well, that is a very, very good question and a complicated answer, actually. There are so many levels. There's the gut feeling kind of thing that you're talking about, like, uh-oh, this guy is trouble.
Right.
Partly common sense, you know, he's snorting cocaine and having a drink at the same time. You know, your common sense could tell you there's a problem there.
Right.
But so there are those kind of gut feeling things. However, I want to say that the opposite is true, too. Sometimes our guts shrink away from the very thing that we need most. And that's when we need to tune into what I would call our higher consciousness, which our intuition also connects us to. So we have gut feelings, which I think people share. Then there's the level of intuition, which I'm talking about, and I have trained people for years to become more intuitive, and I can talk about that in a moment, which is basically to uncover the natural gift that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another level of what I call, you know, the level of higher consciousness, and attuning to that, that's true intuition. That is when we can connect to a consciousness greater than ourselves, and we use it for the highest good of all. Then we are really in a very different place in that we're using our intuition to really help people, to help ourselves, to help our planet.
So is this something you do in levels? I mean, can you teach yourself to get to that higher level?
Well, here's yes and no. And this is what I mean. Every one of us is born, I would say, with an intuition quotient. But that quotient is blocked by our fears, by our opinions, by our agendas, by our old patterns of reaction and response. And what if you really, really are serious about developing your intuition, and okay, this is a big thing. You have to clean up your food, clean up what you drink and eat, so that you're in a calm, neutral place. You're not jangled by sugar or, you know, hepped up by caffeine or any of those things. You know, you clean yourself up on that level and you start working on your emotional healing, on doing deep emotional clearing so that those things are not getting in the way of your intuition. When I train people to be counselors, for example, I mean, I've worked with many therapists and I teach them to be more intuitive with their clients. Is they have to see their own agendas of why they are having the reaction to the client, why they're thinking what they're thinking. So you go through a deep, deep inner cleansing so that you become more and more open so you can get the message. Now, I have a program called, which is free and available on the Internet, that you can get to at livingwithreality.com. There's my book, Living with Reality, 688 pages. You can get it free of charge as an e-book. And then there's a study program, and there's a mutual support group, and there's videos and all of that stuff. It's all free if you go to livingwithreality.com. And
you know,
this is a training for people's consciousness.
Okay. And I think that is really, you kind of hit it right on the nose, is you have to really be at your best.
Yeah.
And take care of yourself so that you can, you know, when you're weak or feeling down or, you know, you're not on your game.
Yeah.
But you talk about this being the 2012 being the significant year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people have talked about the Mayan calendar, and people have been predicting all kinds of changes for the year 2012. That's something that's in the air a lot about shifts of consciousness for human beings, because now we've gone from, you know, the discussion of personal intuition and how we're using it for, you know, in our own lives. And by the way, when we become clear of our own reactivity, we are more likely to do the thing that's for our highest good, because we're not so driven, like, oh my God, I just have to have that handbag, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and we have to get to understand what's driving us to do those things. So as individuals, as we do this emotional healing and clearing, we stop being so driven by these needs of ours. The same is true on a collective level. If you look at the damage that humanity does to itself, one another, to the planet, it's because we're compelled by these drives of ours collectively.
Okay.
To escape into alcohol or drugs, to escape into feelings of impotence by going to war.
Right.
But if you look through history, people have predicted these important dates.
Yes.
Throughout history, and I've always been wrong, by the way.
Right.
So
I love what you're saying.
You know, so how do you use this for a positive thing? Because, yes, you can always make any date substantial to your own life or your own community or your own world. You know, instead of letting other people impose on you what the date is that, you know, the world's going to end or whatever.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How do you use this for a positive?
Yes. Well, honestly, I hope the world does end the way we've known it. And I only wish it were true because there is so much needless pain and suffering.
You don't mean that you hope the whole world blows up. You mean...
No, I mean the world as we've known it.
The consciousness that we live in.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm with you. This is how I believe. I'm not one of those people who, like, looks at calendars and says, oh, the world is coming to an end. But wouldn't it be grand if we all believed that it was true that we could do it? Because so many people do not go forward in really working on their consciousness, in trying to help one another, because they believe that, oh, well, you can't fight City Hall. That's what they used to say when I was growing up. Well, but you can.
You can, yes.
And, you can make a difference.
Yeah, you can make a difference. Now, what are we going to find in your book? This is a huge book, and I know it took you, what, 9 years to write this?
Yes, it did.
Living with Reality, Who We Are, What We Could Be, and How We Get There by Beth Green. What are we going to find when we read this?
What you're going to find is an actual practical handbook to how to raise the level of your own consciousness and heal yourself.
Okay.
And in addition to that, we offer a lot of free supports. Like, as I mentioned, in the livingwithreality.com, you can sign up for this free program that includes an actual living mutual support group that you can call in on the phone. And what you have in this book is, first of all, their introduction is called Ego, Instinct, and Evolution, Are We Ready for Change? And it really explains the human psyche and why it is, why we are the way we are. That it's not shaming. It's like, yeah, we're screwed up, but we're designed this way. And also points to a way that we can evolve from that place. So I give a foundation there. Then the first part of the book is the state of human consciousness and what we've been doing wrong, how we try to change the way we feel instead of dealing with reality, what's the role of addictions, and so on, in great depth. And then we get to the 9 platforms, which is the actual program. And each platform, I'll give you an idea, is becoming oneness, becoming differentiated, becoming co-creative, becoming mutually supportive, and so on. Becoming integrated, accountable, not knowing, and becoming.
Okay.
These platforms are processes that if you practice them, they're explained in detail, and there's a lot of questions for self-reflection. There's tools. The book is full of tools. How do you deal with this situation? How do you deal with that situation? How do you heal yourself? And it's very concrete. And when you come to the end of the book, you even have to, how do you release a person that you've been close to, that it's time, either through death or you need to break up? I mean, there's a lot of tools throughout the book, and that's what you're going to find in the book.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us. Where do we find it? Is it everywhere?
No, it isn't everywhere, but you can find it at Amazon.com.
Okay.
And you can find the free copy at livingwithreality.com. And we also have something called Consciousness Bootcamp that's based on this program if you really want to make deep changes.
Okay.
We have this free program, and please take advantage of it.
Okay.
So
well,
her name is Beth Maynard Green.
Yep. And thank
Living
you.
Living with Reality.
Thank you so much, Beth, for being a part of our show. Very interesting.
Thank you very much.
All right. You have a great day.
Thanks.
We do have a winner on the line. And Pam, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Thank you so much for waiting. And what is the answer?
Bow tie.
That's right. All right. So you will get a couple pair of two tickets to the California Strawberry Festival on. So very cool. I love that. So much great food there. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right. Well, thank you so much, Pam, for being one of our callers. I appreciate that. All right.
Thank you very much.
You got it. All right. So, gosh, again, we're at the end of the show. And, you know, how often do you use your intuition? You know, do you have that feeling when you, you know,
I think I use it with my kids every day.
Yeah.
Of, you know, yes, it feels safe for you to go somewhere. No, I really think you
have
need
you
to,
ever
you know.
Done it where you thought that you could be safe and then you go, darn it, I should have listened to my gut. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, me yeah. too. Yeah. But I mean, and it's really, it's, you know, what they call a mother's tuition. You'll learn that with your kids as they get older, you know, and Matt.
Well, you know, it was funny when I was in college, this is an example of being safe. When I was in college, I was leaving, I was a theater major, I was leaving the theater late at night going to my car, and I didn't wait for somebody to walk me to the car. And I had a feeling somebody was following me. I didn't see somebody follow me, but I had a feeling they were following me. So as I got to the car on my door, I pretended to have a seizure. And I, you know, like railed on the ground, and the guy ran. I could hear him running away.
Are you serious?
The next day, there was a thing at our school that there was rapes on campus. So sometimes you really do need to listen to yourself.
I think you should listen to yourself all the time. Yeah. And really, it's that gut feeling also of, you know, even when you're not feeling good, you can kind of go in your own body and see what's going on, you know. So, I mean, you really do have to listen to your yeah. body, to your feeling, to your thoughts. That's what they're there for. What do you think, Lee? He's going, wow, what did I get myself
into? Don't go through that door if you don't think you should.
We watch a lot of Star Wars in my house.
Oh, there you go.
The idea of the Force.
Yeah, there yeah. you go. I love it.
Good Force and bad Force.
What about yeah. Dark Shadows? Do you guys ever remember Dark Shadows?
Hey, there's a movie oh, yeah. coming out. With,
oh,
with,
my God. Really? See, all the good stuff's coming out.
Well, you must have seen it in the back of your mind. It's with Johnny Depp. It's a farce on Dark Shadows, so, and it looks hysterical.
Really? Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Do you listen to your Sixth Sense, Matt?
Not as much as I should. Listening to you girls, I'm like, okay, I need to start listening to myself more often.
Yeah, I don't think guys do it as much
no,
as women.
No, I don't either. I mean,
I'm aware of certain consequences when I'm going out. Not, you know, it's not to the extreme, but then I'm like, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this. It's a little dangerous. I'm
yeah.
like, it's okay. I don't mind that scraper cut. And then when it happens, I'm like, why did I do it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you're like the afterthought.
Well,
right?
I think men jump in physically, will jump in thinking that their physicalness will handle any situation. But then, you know, women are a little bit more physically cautious. But, you know, yes.
I don't know. You know, I think it's important to teach our children to listen to their gut thought, you know, that gut, you know, should I be in this place? Is this the right thing to do? You know, because as you're young, yeah. especially, you know, their frontal doesn't develop as fast or I don't know. Anyway.
And it is hard as a parent, and you'll find this too as your kids get older. Sometimes you just have to let them make their own mistakes.
That's
you
a
know,
hard one that, too,
that
let
is
me
a
tell
hard
you.
Deal.
I
when
know.
You, you know, you've warned them, you've told them to wear their helmet, and then, you
oh,
know, you've
got
to
yeah.
just let them go.
Yeah, I know. You just keep trying to take them down the right road. No, yeah. no, no, not that road, this road, not that road, this
and
road.
And then
you know?
Try not to really relish the I told you so.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You know.
And even with your husband on yes. talking about partners
just
or vice versa, you know. So
it stands on its own.
There you go. Well, you've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you've been a part of it. Lee, pleasure meeting you. And I can't wait to see how we can all be a part of this and look forward to all the great events coming up.
Well, thanks. And if you want more information, please check out our website, venturahillsides.org.
Okay, great. Of course, I end my show with a mommy moment. You can alter your life by altering your attitude. And we'll talk to you later. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.